live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Back behind me, after a one-week hiatus, he is going to be keeping charge of our time, looking up any pertinent information that we might have. He is the Poet Laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. What's going on?
Freddie just
here?
Found a fly in his drink, and he was whispering it to
it
me.
It came in. Never mind. No. I drank and it went in my mouth.
Oh.
You had a fly that in yes. your drink that went in
yes.
your mouth?
Yes. I will not be in attendance next week. I'll be ill.
I'm pretty sure that high noon will kill it off.
Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody.
Best introduction I've ever gotten.
Jesus.
Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country.
You
all right,
Matt Kemp? Dude? You need some mouthwash or something?
Let me see your travel scope. Traveling scope that you keep in your pocket.
Travel scope?
Yeah.
Scope. Oh, the mouthwash. Yeah. I got
Listerine.
You. Yeah.
And bellied up to the bar, whatever I was going to
Jeffrey
say.
Jeffrey Goldblum as the fly.
I was gonna say... there's a famous scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where Indiana Jones is on top of that little kind of that little plateau with the bazooka, and he looks down at Belloc, and he's like, "Belloc, I'll blow it away." And Belloc turns around to him. He starts to talk to Indiana Jones, and a fly flies right into his mouth, and he swallows it right, and they didn't take it out. So that's what that reminds me of. So the Belloc of the Blockout Sports Pod, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders.
Thank you. I despise flies. I hate them. I wish they never existed on this planet.
They are
the most worthless insect in the world.
I think that fly must have known that and said, "Well, I'm going to die in like 2 days anyway. I'm going to take out some good revenge on the fabulous one."
They hang outside of your door and wait for you to open it.
I think they just like high noon.
Pricks.
But guys, it is great to have the whole crew back together after last week only having the three of us. I had a very successful and fun trip out west this week. I know Jody was at the Kentucky Georgia game, which was almost a very successful weekend for them.
I did not go to the game.
Oh, did you not?
I was there the weekend before. I gave up my tickets because we thought it was going to rain.
Ah, I see.
He was 30 deep in my backyard at the capstone.
Now that I, obviously I was completely out of the loop because I wasn't anywhere close to here. But I want to remind everybody that we are on social media. Give us a follow on Twitter at Blockout Pod. Go to Facebook and just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search engine. And
Hulkamania is at the Reds game. If you're going to a Reds game, I'm like, what are you expecting to see right now? Might as well dress like full Hulkamania and go.
I love that kid. That's a great costume.
That's what I'm going to
wear. That was a guy.
I'm wearing that at the Clemson Louisville game when we go.
That's fine with me.
So I'll get into the Indiana experience at the Rose Bowl here soon. But before we get into that, I thought that we would just kind of open it up to other games. And I know Kentucky, and I wish I would have been able to have watched that. I was kind of following along on my phone, and I had this unbelievable feeling when I saw that Kentucky was going to punt at the end of the ball game. I think there was, about 3 minutes to go. It was a one-point game. It was 4th and 8. Kentucky had it, I believe, across the 50-yard line. And it reminded me so much.
I thought it was on the 40.
Well, it was.
It was the other side.
It was on
50.
The other side.
Other yeah. side. Not, yeah.
And I thought, well, if you want a chance to win this game, you go for it. I mean, that in my opinion, you had
that's
one option.
That's not just your opinion, buddy. That's the entire nation.
All 25.
I don't think you can turn
house.
On a radio, a TV, or open a newspaper periodical without that seeing that listed.
And it reminded me so much of last season, Indiana at Penn State. Indiana hung. They were ahead for a lot of the game. Then Penn State takes the lead. Then Indiana gets a turnover late in the fourth quarter, had a chance to go for it on like 4th and 5 to win the game, and they kicked the field goal to tie instead. And I said immediately, I looked at my buddies and I was like, well, Kentucky played well, but they're going to get beat.
Yeah,
because they decided to punt.
Right, and then they're like, you know, everyone goes, man, the defense has played great. They're going to stand tall. He's trusting his defense. They're fired up on the sideline. Coach is digging into the defense, pumping them up now. And then the first play, a 30-yard pass to the sidelines. Game over.
Yeah, I mean, did he expect his offense to be super productive after they got the ball back and be able to go down and score? Like, I would rather take the chances on that.
I would have taken the chance.
4th and 6 or 4th and 8, either way. Which one was it?
I think it was 4th and 8.
Yeah.
It actually went 2 and 8, 3 and 8, and then 4 and 8.
But going forward on 4th and 8 is, what I guess, what I'm talking about. I'd rather take my chances getting that 8 yards on 4th down than trying to drive the entire length of the field after I got the ball back.
I think the way our offense was working, because we only had a couple, I won't even say deep plays, mm-hmm. had a couple fairly long
right.
passes. But we at 2nd and 8, we should have tried to get 3 or 4.
3 yards.
And
just get 3 yards.
Get 3 and 4.
Right, right.
Just do that. And
dude, Kentucky was running.
He didn't screw up on 4th and 8. He screwed
right,
up on 2nd.
Right, right. And Kentucky was running the ball fantastic. Wicks was all over the place. They were dominating. They were pushing them back for 3 or 4, 3 yards every time. Maybe they lost a little momentum, but I personally would have ran the picket fence. They didn't try that.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's a great call on the picket fence. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't even know what to make of it. I'm not going to say a whole lot. I just don't understand how you can be so good at run blocking and then so terrible at pass protection. Like, what? It's two
it's
different offensive
weird.
Lines every time they yeah. come out and block. And, like, I don't know. It is. I mean, I was that may be in one of the times that I've pulled harder for Kentucky in my entire life.
Their defense definitely came to
I
play.
Really wanted them to win that damn game so bad. And
right.
I wanted to just watch the world burn, and Kentucky taking out Georgia would have been the number one thing to make that happen.
And it was right there for the taking.
It really was,
it was right there for the taking.
I could have seen like a 48 yarder to win it. That'd have been nice.
Well, props to that field goal kicker, man.
Yeah.
He's what's his name? Rainer?
I don't know if that's how you've been. Yeah.
Yeah. If I was a Kentucky fan, I'd have his name tattooed on my chest by now, because, I mean, he's pretty solid, dude.
Well, in our group, when we were watching the game, somebody said, bring out the kicker, let him kick it. At that point, it was a 65 yarder. Mm. So that tells you where.
That was me.
Well, there was also a female in our group goes, if we win this game, I'm streaking naked through Germantown.
I thought I said that too.
Depending on that female, I think I would start pulling for Georgia.
But yeah, anyways, it was a downer. Kentucky played well. They sure as hell played better than they did against South Carolina. But looking back, South Carolina's probably better than they thought they were, looking at how they also lost a heartbreaker. This
I don't
week
know.
As well,
that offense. Look, every time I watch LSU play, I get more and more disappointed with that defense. Like,
yeah.
It's just so because it's, you're
it's
not
just like last year.
No one can ever convince me that South Carolina has a productive offense. Now they got Raheem Sanders. Rocket Sanders
right,
is
right,
good.
Right.
I give him that. But any team should be able to just stop, because we know that that's their offensive attack. But anyway. LSU, get your shit together. College football is just better when you're good. I don't know, man. is what it is. I think the biggest game, that, or the funnest game that I think I watched was maybe the Missouri-Boston College game.
Yeah, that was fun.
So
Inka Schnitz was sweating.
He was, and I think Boston College kind of pissed that game away.
Yeah, they did. We watched that game, too. What were some of the shenanigans? Was there a big fight out on the field or something? I mean, obviously there is with his teams a lot.
I mean,
but I thought somebody got there was a couple really bad personal.
I don't think
fouls.
There was anything insane.
Okay, well, yeah, but that game was a lot of fun to watch. Boston College is obviously really good, are not really good, but they're a decent team in the ACC. They are they always come in with a good game plan.
And they're way ahead of schedule from where most people thought that they were going to be. Like,
and they got a crafty quarterback.
I think you look at them and say they're on a upper trajectory type of thing. Like,
and I think Bill O'Brien will probably get a big job before too long.
Yep.
And
yep.
And Castellanos, he's not necessarily a quarterback I'd like to have on my team because I think he would frustrate the hell out of you. But damn it, he's exciting, man. When it comes to it, like he'll have you throwing shoes at the wall, and then he'll have you jumping up and punching the ceiling out of excitement. So, but I think the thing with Boston College is how physical they're able to play just all of a sudden out of nowhere. I didn't expect for him to bring in the size to compete at that level. Now I want to see how they hold that up as the season goes on. But I think right now they're playing out of pure adrenaline. And I know Freddie was excited to see Florida State go out, give another A-plus effort.
Buddy, called
your
that
favorite
one.
Quarterback.
Yes, Memphis. Oh, I said, man. Florida State was going to lose three in a row, and they have, and they may lose four in a row when we get to their game versus Cal.
Cal's kind of a surprising team.
Damn shit right they are.
The best thing about Cal is not necessarily their football team. It's their Twitter account.
Yes.
They
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to the official, like,
oh,
Cal
yeah.
football,
yeah,
and
wild.
They just talk shit.
Yeah, they're
and it gets better and better.
Stuff. But Memphis is definitely, I mean, we know Florida State has major problems, but Memphis comes in there, beats their old coach in his house. They get 1. What, 3 million as they spank them on their way out. And Memphis is now 3-0, and I don't know, man. They're
so do you think
good
that
in the AAC they are leading that division?
Let's talk Mike Norvell for a second. So the rumor is, well, it was earlier this week that Florida's board of directors was meeting to talk about Billy Napier being fired. Now that I think that was a rumor that leaked. It went out, and as of right now, that's not true. But it's going to happen soon. It's the inevitable. But let's go over to Mike Norvell. Do you think his job is in jeopardy in any way, shape, or form?
If he loses to Cal, yes. Mm-hmm. If he loses 4 in a row at home, and counting Dublin, Ireland as mm-hmm. one of those games, I think next week he could be in trouble. I don't know.
Even
that
though he went undefeated last year?
Yeah, well, he kind of went undefeated.
Well, but when he went the regular season undefeated.
Right.
And really, like if it was a 12-team playoff last year, he would have been a first-round bye. Well, I mean, regardless, he went undefeated.
He did.
He did. Do you not see an issue with that?
I think he's a good coach. I think that the team – I think he's going to have to let some people go.
I think this is just a bad group of transfers that have not figured out how to gel together.
Yeah, they're all from Bama.
Well, but they haven't figured out how to gel together. Not all of them.
Sorry about your luck, boys.
Well, that's defensive, and that's one aspect. But offense, there's no identity at all. They can't figure out how to get anything going offensively. I just – it's weird. I think next year, if they leave him in place and let him – like, I honestly, they might start getting it together by the end of the year. And I'm kind of glad they're not on our schedule where you don't have to play them in, like, November.
Yeah.
Like, that would be, I think – I don't know, man. I'm just naive and keep thinking they'll get it together.
I think
Norvell's safe
team.
No matter what. I think you tell the loudmouth fans to shut up and look what he's done since he's been there.
And to be honest with you, as I look at the slate from this past weekend, there weren't necessarily a lot of exciting games. I mean, if you're a gambler and betting on games, they were – definitely exciting, as they always are. That's what Vegas is, what Vegas is. But I thought the Oklahoma-Tulane game was fun for a while. Tulane tried to use their grittiness and catch back up, and then they, you know, they couldn't get the job done. Then Oklahoma got a late touchdown. Bama took care of business up there in Madison.
That's kind of what Bama needed to do, too, is put on a solid performance from front to finish. And right, it was kind of nice to see them do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they look, they still have line issues. But
oh, no doubt. There's now, still now, issues there.
Another thing
there,
with them, you got to watch
every
out
every team in the nation
they
has
lost,
issues.
I'm not sure how. I still haven't been able to find out how long Malachi Moore, the All-American safety, all everything on defense is, but they're going to definitely need him and hope that he ain't gone. But they are on a bye week. We're on a bye. So we got Georgia in 2 weeks at home. So Rusaw, the freshman that's doing great. He had a lower leg injury, and Richard Lung. They had some pretty tough injuries in that game. I'll tell you what, while we were watching this the longest game in history, UK-Georgia, there's about 30 of us under my capstone outside underneath, and everybody's – I don't even think anyone even got up out of their chairs. Maybe had their cooler sitting next to them. Didn't go up to get nothing to eat. But it was funny to look on the left TV and see the beautiful sunny skies of California, of the Rose Bowl, and have the IU Hoosiers playing against UCLA with the sunshine blaring down. And it was actually a really cool, I loved having that game on next to Kentucky because I had quite a bit of money on IU. I even live bet them, as I told y'all. Travis, what'd you think of the game? I know you all got wild and had a great time out there, went to Vegas and everything. But how was the Rose Bowl?
Well, I will say a couple of things about that. First of all, the television doesn't really do it justice, I don't think, of how cool it is once you're out there. Something that I was telling Matt before we recorded tonight is, I mean, I don't know how many games I've watched take place from the Rose Bowl, and they always have that same overhead view and everything. I had never realized that the Rose Bowl is built literally on a golf course. So surrounding the entire Rose Bowl is a golf course.
Wow.
It sits almost right in the middle of it.
Huh.
They're like tailgating areas or whatever. Or you just drive on this golf course and just park on the fairway. And, you know, that's just the way it is.
That's crazy.
The people
I
there.
I can see tuna in a bunker getting wild.
They did have the bunkers and the greens roped off. But okay. you could go anywhere else. Indiana did a great job, as they always do, with like the pregame. They had a 1,500 person pregame thing. Super cool. Like, it wasn't like going to, you know, Ohio State or someplace like that where the fans
Everybody's
are crazy
wild.
And they're getting
yeah.
angry, like they're mad at you.
Right.
Because you're
right.
rooting for. Everybody there was like California cool.
Like, ooh, check it out. We got some,
yeah,
what is it, a
like,
Hoosier?
They're
yeah,
like, oh, man, we're so glad you guys are here.
Have a spritzer.
And then Indiana goes out and plays a complete football game.
Damn right they did.
They dominated from start to finish. It was one of the great Indiana football experiences I've ever had. And we've got
do the seats go like gradually out, so they're not like way up.
Well,
right, they're not nosebleedy kind of like
the field is sunk like it is at the big
okay,
house.
But the seats just gradually go back at it, not at a big angle, right?
Well,
and
you have to think
Coliseum.
The field is 100 feet below the first
oh,
row of the
I
seats.
Oh, I got you.
So then the
okay.
seats
That's
only
cool.
like the actual stadium. When you look at it from outside, looks like it's 40 feet tall.
I got you.
But then you get in there and it goes.
You sounded like Brian Kelly just then when you said outside.
Outside.
Anyway.
Tuna, what am I wearing?
A very small shirt.
Is it tight?
It's like, I believe that belongs to Clayton.
Oh, it's tight.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not tight like you wore it tight.
Oh,
it's
tight. It's like cool.
Because it's
cool tight.
An Indiana Hoosiers t-shirt.
Damn right it is.
But
I've worn this to a tailgate before.
I think everybody that's associated with Indiana is very excited about where this season can go. But we're also all Indiana football fans that have gone through this for enough years that we know that at any given moment, the floor can completely fall away.
At any given time, Bobby Lutz can show up with Charlotte.
That's right. But I do... In all seriousness, I will say that this Indiana football team seems a lot different because they seem to be built on a very solid structure, and
yes,
nothing rattles them.
I enjoyed watching them.
The officiating, especially in the second half of that game, was unbelievable, and a couple of things happened where, admittedly, I turned to the guy I was sitting next to, and I was like, this is where... this game could completely go south because that's how Indiana football usually happens. Well, all Indiana did was get the ball back and go down, score three more touchdowns.
You know what they call that? The reverse black cat.
Yeah.
Well, I want to throw one.
Go ahead,
Tuna.
All right, no, I was just saying, we haven't mentioned this yet, and I think this is the biggest storyline of the weekend, and I've got a question for it after the fact, but – we got to see Arch Manning get in the game after Quinn Ewers
went
in. And
after he's just been sitting around chilling, doing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he goes 9 for 12 for 223 yards and 4 touchdowns. And
juked a couple dudes
out
of their cleats.
That's the thing that surprised me the most was his 3 rushes, 53 yards, and 1 touchdown. But one of those rushes, because it was 67 yards. It was a 67-yard touchdown.
Yeah, the dude's still
quarterback
stuck in
sacks
concrete.
Go against their rushing yardage.
Yeah.
But I had no idea he had wheels like that. He'd get those from his –
I didn't know he had jukes. Like he got
no.
that from Grandpa.
He did a 1 foot down pivot and
total
burn.
Juke.
And
I think your boy's still standing there.
Yeah, like I haven't seen wide receivers be able to make that move.
No.
There's a few of them.
He got that from Daddy.
He got that from – well,
I'd never seen Cooper do anything.
They said Cooper was the best athlete in the whole family.
Right.
But being the best athlete
but
in the Manning family doesn't mean a lot.
Was Archie Manning by far. He, if you ever watched him scramble for his life, every play of his life, Archie Manning's probably maybe the great one of the greatest scrambling quarterbacks of all time, along with Fran Tarkington. Lamar Jackson,
Roger Staubach,
Matt
Castle,
Randall Cunningham, Matt Castle.
I had to throw one in there.
Steve DeBerg.
So here's the question I got: is Arch Manning's like
Michael
immediate
Vick.
Success? Like, and watching him perform the way that he did, is it a good thing for Texas or a bad thing for Texas this season?
I think it's all great. I think Texas is the favorite to win the national championship.
I do too.
I don't think it's Ohio State.
That's why
I
question if it's a bad thing or not.
No, I think it all comes together right now. I mean, this is why you had him. This is why he's been sitting around. And you know him, he could have been sitting around being a total mess for that team, all over social media for the last 2 years, whining, this and there. You ain't even heard his name mentioned. He's just been the perfect teammate.
Well, you know, in that family, that's never going to happen.
Exactly, and I love
never
that.
Never going to
happen.
Right,
that's never going to happen, and you know it's not. And
they have handlers and stuff that make sure that
right,
kind of
and then he pops out.
They haven't had a handler be able to hold on to a student ID yet.
Then he pops out. I mean, I think Texas is easily the favorite. They're number one in the country. Let's be real. We know that.
Can I tell you why I think it might be a bad thing?
Yes, I would love to hear your side of it.
I think
because
the fans are going to fall in love with him over the next couple weeks till Quinn Ewers comes back in. And you got a team that's absolutely rolling right now. They're number one. They look incredible. Let's say Quinn Ewers comes back from his injury a little bit and just kind of struggles on like a few drives, or maybe has a game.
Well, he's going to, because they're going to start schedules getting harder
because he's a little off. And that's what I'm saying. As the schedule ramps up, he's going to have to earn it. Are fans immediately going to start being, let's say they drop one that they're not supposed to drop because Quinn struggles a little bit. Are they going to start being like, we need Archie in, well, or Arch?
Have you ever heard of Alabama?
Oh, God.
Jalen Hurts?
No.
Tua Tagovailoa. Hey, it's happened.
I'm
the
with
same
you, dude.
Thing
but
has
this
happened.
This is not Alabama. This is Texas. I mean, I'm just saying. This has happened to a lot of teams where it's went sideways.
Right.
I know it worked out at Alabama. All I asked was if you think this is a bad thing or a good thing. And you said you think it's a good thing. I say it has potential to be a bad thing.
I've only seen it be good.
Your scenario is the nature of the beast. Like you said, we've seen it a thousand times. It worked out Alabama. Actually, both those guys, didn't they both win Heisman at different years?
No, Jalen Hurts didn't win one, but he ended up transferring.
But yeah, because he went to Oklahoma. Right?
He got invited to New York while he was at Oklahoma.
Right, he came in second.
He was right there.
He came in second.
I think with the mentality and the attitude that Manning has, I think Ewers, is that how you pronounce it? I think that's carried on in the locker room. I don't think it's going to be an issue. Screw the fans.
Yeah, I'm with you. Screw the fans.
That's what Sark's going to do. Mm-hmm. Right. I get it. I mean, that's what he's going to do. He's going to just go with it. But I do think that it could.
It's going to be good to see Sark in a situation like this, because this is something he's never really had to deal with.
Right.
And
I'll tell you what, I wish UK was in that situation. I'll put it that way.
Well, I think a lot of schools.
And
wish
I didn't
they
get
were in
to
that
hear
situation,
his
Jody.
His presser to find out if he went ahead and maybe mentioned that already. Like, we love what he did. He came in, but when Quinn gets back, it's his job. You know, he could have nipped that in the bud right now and cut off
the chatter.
Here's
the thing with Texas and their schedule. You can lose one game. You can lose two games, probably, with their schedule. Still make that 12-team playoff. If they drop two and Quinn Ewers looks a little shaky, that Arch Manning stuff's going to get louder and louder to where they can not at all drop that third game.
Right. So you put him in.
Yeah, it might get to that.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You got both of them on there. These guys are pros now. They're not kids getting an education.
I did hear his press conference. He alluded to that a little bit, like when he comes back, he's our starter. But he also said, if you remember last year's press conference, I said we have two starters here. And then immediately after that, they showed last year's press conference from week two, and he goes, we have two starting quarterbacks. We're fortunate right now.
Right.
So, it's a good press conference. I thought he did well.
Good point, Tuna. Good point bringing that up, actually. You're right. It will get a little heated down there when that starts happening. I want to throw one more game, Travis. Is that cool?
Yeah, please.
I thought that the game on Friday night, it wasn't a close game at all. But I thought that Kansas State finally showed us something. I mean, we all respect Jed Fish in Arizona.
Fish is at Washington now.
I don't know. What's his name? Not Jed Fish. What's his name?
I don't know.
Some guy that coaches Arizona.
Yeah, we respect the hell out of this guy that we don't know his name.
Yeah. I don't respect him at all. Yes, we do. Me and Jody love this guy. Thanks for the help, Tina.
This is great sports.
All right. Okay. Anyways, I thought Kansas State kicked ass, and I thought they looked good, and I think they're the top best team in the Big 12, and they finally have shown it. They beat Tulane, a good team that's battle-tested, and I enjoyed the hell out of that game, even though they dominated it. I still had fun betting it, watching it.
Brent Brennan from
Brent Brennan,
San Jose State.
Yeah, Brent.
We talked about him on here about 500 times.
Brent Brennan, the asshole at Arizona.
That's how much we respect him.
Well, Jody does. He's got him in his playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a three-team conference, man. You got Utah, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State. And it's going to be fun to watch those guys go against each other. We got one matchup of them this weekend. Oklahoma or Utah goes to Oklahoma State.
Who'd you say were your three teams that you liked up
Kansas
there?
Kansas State, Utah, and Oklahoma State.
Okay. I got two other ones up there.
Who you got?
I got Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the undefeated Arizona State Sun Devils.
No, no.
With a Heisman Trophy candidate.
That's not happening.
Skisachi!
Wait a minute. Are they undefeated?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take y'all's word for it.
They are undefeated. Watch out for the Sun Devils.
I probably won't.
Oh, they're must watch. Mm-hmm. You're telling me you don't like their running back?
I love Scatabo.
Scatabo.
I'm a Scatabo guy.
You said you were going to get his jersey.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm all in on Arizona State. Well, I like Scatabo, though. I'll take that dude all day.
So Scatabo has rushed for like, I think he's averaging over 200 yards.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Against some decent competition. I think they've looked pretty good. Anyways, all right, that's it for the wrap-up, really.
I thought I would just quickly jump on the fact that now Tuna couldn't necessarily remember exactly, and since Mr. Electricity wasn't here, we didn't have them written down.
Yeah,
on
we
the
had
board.
No idea what time it was. We didn't know what our picks were. It was
but,
pure chaos.
But
you know what a haiku is, though.
Last
I've seen
week,
Wayne's World.
Last week, Colin went 3-0. I went 2-1. Freddie went 2-1. And apparently hit both of his unders.
Damn right.
I know for a fact I'm 1-1, but I don't know what the third game was.
I think it's 1-2.
I tried to tell you, Travis. I went 15-0.
Well, I'll take your word for that. But so going into this weekend, Indiana is back to playing a team that they should beat relatively easily. Louisville is back on the field against Georgia Tech, which I think what that line is 10.5.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit ridiculous.
Seems like a lot of points.
It does.
What didn't it start at 9.5? Did it move?
I don't know. I never usually bet Louisville on or against them. So. I don't really watch the spread, but just hearing that today at 10.5, I don't know what it opened at or nothing like that, but my immediate reaction was that's just bullshit. That's just way too many.
It seems like a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. You've got two coaches that are completely like they're clones of each other. Everything they do except for their style of play is clones of each other. And Brett Key came out and said he's preparing for this like it's championship week. You know what I mean? Like they lost their game to Syracuse and he knows that there's no margin for error from this point on. And I don't know. I'm worried about this Georgia Tech team. I think they're a good team. I really do. Even though they blew that one up at Syracuse, they should have had that when they had opportunities and did not capitalize on it late. But,
well, Tuna, I'm going to be there for you Saturday cause I'm going to the game.
Oh, well, I'm going to be there too. So, talk to me. Or text me.
So, with all that being said, Tuna, I think that we're probably on the same page thinking that that point spread is a little out of whack, but how do you see this game happening going forward?
I think it's like putting two big boxers in front of each other and just having them slug at each other, and then it's going to be the last man standing.
I think this is going to be
a low-scoring game. There's probably going to be a lot of field goals in this game, which makes me nervous as hell because our field goal kicker has issues. It's going to be a field position game. I don't really know. It's tough for me to say, Travis, because I've seen what Georgia Tech can do. I've seen them play two decent opponents. They've played several games where we haven't really. We've played two games against, you know, FBS level competition, and we did what we were supposed to do. But at the end of the day, you don't know,
right.
You know what right. you're getting. Right. So it's hard for me to say how we're going to go into this. I don't really know. I'd hope to see Louisville get out of it, but I would if I was forced to bet on this game, I would definitely take Georgia Tech.
I got a question for you. You were talking about scenario with Texas. What do you think about the bye weeks, the off week? Yeah, it's good for your guys that are hurt, but do you worry about momentum not having that for 2 weeks?
I think it's
tough. I don't think Louisville built up much momentum just playing those two games with those guys. I think it was more like they were just – you know, they're ready to play football. They weren't ready for a bye week. It's not like there's a time to get well rested, and week three is not that time.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think that's worse. You know, you practice for however long you practice. You have two games, and now you're sitting again. It's not six games in and have a bye when you really need it.
Yeah.
So does that bring you back down?
I don't know. I feel like Jeff Brohm has a way of getting these guys – making sure they're staying focused and all that. And it was nice. There was enough stuff on film from the Jacksonville State game to where they had a lot to work on and a lot to focus on. Because you had this Tyler Huff kid. There was a quarterback for Jacksonville State. He kind of ran up on us a little bit. And we're about to face a whole bunch of mobile quarterbacks that we showed that's kind of our weakest point is stopping a mobile quarterback. So there was enough stuff on film that maybe we could work on it because Haynes King is 100 times better than this Huff kid that played against us. And then we got Riley Leonard coming up the weekend after that. The big thing is staying locked in on this game and not even trying to consider the Notre Dame game the following week.
I think that's the hardest thing as a coach is to get these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to not look ahead, especially when they got $1, $2, $3 million in their hands too.
Yeah, I'd say recruiting is the hardest thing as a coach, but that's probably right a close number two. I'm with you. I don't know. Now,
so our big game on the slate is Oklahoma.
Tennessee at Oklahoma, right?
Yes.
I don't think this is even going to be a good game. I'm on the Tennessee train now. Like, they're legit and they're 100 times better than Oklahoma.
I agree. I do think that Georgia Tech Louisville is going to be a good game. It's a great matchup on here. This slate is not any better than last week's, really.
I think there's some good ones here, man. I mean, like I said earlier, Utah, Oklahoma State at 4 o'clock. It's shame I'm not going to be able to see that game. But,
you're right.
That's at Oklahoma State. You got Miami going to South Florida, which is a sneaky game. South Florida is, as you know, Fred.
It is. I'm taking South Florida.
You battled against them at Alabama. They gave Alabama all they wanted. Miami's going to – these are a bunch of kids that played against each other in high school. You know, Miami kids and Florida kids in general. So
I think one of the best games on the slate's Nebraska, Illinois. Both surprisingly 3-0. I know it's Big Ten schools, but you got to start giving teams respect a little bit when they're 3-0, and they should have been 0-3.
Nebraska is favored by 9 in that game. I think Nebraska is way better than Illinois, personally.
I'm looking at 7.5 right now, and
I got 8 right now.
I'm slowly starting to fall in love with this Nebraska team.
I think
I don't know if it's because their quarterback is Pat Mahomes, but
I think after you saw Kansas last week against UNLV, and then think that Illinois really lucked out to win that game, I don't think Kansas is very good. I think Illinois is not very good. I don't think they certainly should be ranked. I think Nebraska rolls in this game, personally.
So, you don't think Kansas is very good. I'm kind of with you. I think they're well coached, but I think there's definitely a talent gap there, and it shows that they don't have a commitment to NIL at football in Kansas. Lance Leopold is struggling out there. But
he's got, like, great players, too. Quarterback, running back.
Yeah, skill position.
All
skill position, but you don't have the meat and potatoes of a football team.
And
that's what you kind of need.
Well,
now, he's got an
interesting – they had it at the beginning of the season because we all had him up at the top of our list to do well.
We had him up there.
They're struggling.
But
I didn't have him up there.
Okay, I did, and I don't know who else. But
and that's also – before the season starts,
we start finding out as you go. Like, I don't know how good their defensive front line is going to be, you know, going into the season.
Right.
Everybody had Florida State as one of the best coming into the season.
I'm surprised they're struggling.
But they're going to West Virginia this week, and I think Neil Brown is in big trouble. That momentum that they had last year, it looks to be over with.
Yeah, I agree.
They laid down against Pittsburgh at the end of that game, and I could see Kansas going into West Virginia and getting a win this weekend.
Yeah, I like that one.
Well, I really, and this was, I mentioned this earlier today on the text thread. If you are in Las Vegas and UNLV happens to be playing on either a Thursday or Friday night, and no matter what the money line is or whatever, and I really looked at it and I was like, man, you know, I don't know how many local Vegas people would come to a sports book to watch UNLV play. Probably not a lot. So I won't feel bad about going in and betting against UNLV. It'll probably be like it usually is, where people are just betting for the teams that they bet, or rooting for the teams that they bet on. Well, I walk in to the sports book at the Cosmopolitan, and the bartenders are all wearing UNLV gear. There's three or four tables over in the corner of guys wearing UNLV. So I went over there and I asked the guys, I said, now, are you guys really UNLV? They're like, oh, yeah, we come here and we watch every game. I went back over to my little section and two plays happened, and I'm kind of trying to cheer for Kansas, and I look over my shoulder and I see a couple of the guys over there like looking at me. And I walked back over. I said, I can't do this anymore, guys. I said, I bet against them, and I made a big mistake. And they said, well, yeah, you should know you can't come to the sports book in Vegas and bet against UNLV. You're going to lose. And sure enough,
yeah.
I did. Sure enough, I did. So I won't make that mistake again.
Did you have IU gear on?
No.
Okay.
No, I had no gear on.
Gotcha.
I had my gear of, well, UNLV can't beat Kansas at Kansas. This is crazy.
He was wearing a velour tracksuit.
Right. But, yeah, so that sucked. But I was very impressed with how UNLV played in that game. I don't think Kansas is very good, but going on, you know, on the road against a team that they were not expected to compete against and win outright was pretty impressive.
What do y'all think about USC Michigan?
I don't think Michigan has any offensive production at all. I don't know where any of it's ever going to come from. I think Sherrone Moore is a terrible football coach, and I think Michigan is done for this year.
And you also love USC's quarterback.
I mean, he's a good quarterback. Like
You just love him.
Yes, I'm in love with him.
You just love him
As a person?
Yes.
Yeah,
as
I
a
love
person.
It. Yeah, I'm going to mail him Valentine cards and I might stalk him. I don't know yet. But I don't know. I mean, I think there's other quarterbacks I love more, but he seems like a nice kid.
I think USC's going to hammer him.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think people, and this is a good week, I think, still where Vegas is still, to a certain extent, kind of trading on names. Like they have Florida State as a favorite this weekend. I don't think the line in the Michigan USC game is nearly big enough.
You don't see, I think it is when you're talking like USC going to the Big House and you have Michigan being a 6-point underdog in the Big House. Don't get me wrong. I'm taking USC, but like, I can see where that line would be.
I don't think it's nearly enough points.
I'm not taking USC. I see something happening here.
I think USC absolutely hammers
them. I could see something happening,
why?
I don't know.
There's nothing that Michigan has shown you.
I think that's just like this
USC coming into the Big House. I just see them a little fragile and off kilter. And maybe Michigan's backs are against the wall now that they got slaughtered by Texas.
But
or,
they don't have a quarterback.
I think we keep looking at the Texas going into the Big House, and we're like, well, they manhandled Michigan up there, and anybody can do it. And I'm like, USC and Texas are very far
two
apart from each
teams.
Other.
Yeah.
But I still think USC is a much better football team than Michigan. It's just that home field advantage thing.
I mean, Vegas is showing you that that's what it is. It's 5 points. So they're saying that they're not going to – that they think USC is the better team, but they're not going to go in there and blow them out.
I think it's the easiest bet of the entire weekend.
Well, you make sure you put that on the board.
I think they're going to absolutely hammer them because I don't – I just – I think that we think, well, it's Michigan, so Michigan has to be good. Michigan is not a good football team.
I'm well aware of the
they're way better than Florida State.
Factor. Are they?
I think they are.
I mean, I don't know. Michigan's quarterback isn't better than Florida State's quarterback.
No, that's a fact.
I can tell you that right now.
That's definitely a fact.
I think defensively Michigan hasn't been very good. I think they're going to get rolled, and I think this is a not good Michigan football team.
They are hard to watch, too. Damn, they are hard to watch.
And, of course – you know, I'm the guy. I hope Michigan loses every game. So part of me is it's probably a lot of in my brain. But with all that being said, I mean, I'm usually pretty realistic about this stuff. And I just don't think Michigan has the skill players to compete. I just don't. But we'll move on to a different game.
No, I agree. I'm glad we discussed that because we – really, when you're betting, you should just look at the better team and forget all the other stuff. But somehow that's what happens. All that other stuff gets in your head. And you're like, let's talk about
the home underdogs is like a big thing to bet on. And if you look at numbers, and
it
that's
is.
The
for
thing,
sure.
Michigan being an underdog. Typically, if you're trend betting, you would kind of take that. This year, the home underdog is not competing like it has before. So I think you take previous years and kind of throw that out the window compared to what's happened this season. But it's still early. When we start getting into more and more conference games over and over week in and week out, I think those home dogs are going to play a bigger factor.
God, look at this under on Iowa, Minnesota, my two under teams. 36.
You bet on that game, and then you tell us how the game goes.
You know what I'm betting?
None of us are going to watch that.
You know
one.
What, Travis? I'm going pure Travis style here on that one. I'm going with the over in that one.
That game should be NC-17. Like kids should not be allowed to watch that and think that that's what.
Yeah, that is strictly ticker. Yeah. However, I hate to tell you, it's on ABC.
I'll watch it then.
Oh, no, NBC. It's on NBC. I love it. Let's see here. We got anything else that's popping up?
Yeah,
Travis,
we
haven't talked about Vandy and Dinkeschnitz yet.
Well, here's
what happened
the thing.
To Vandy this weekend?
Well, I have no idea because I was in California and had no...
got smacked in the mouth at home. At the construction site.
No, they were on the road.
Were they?
Yep. They went to
Georgia. I was watching that game on the ticker.
They went to, I believe it was Georgia State, but the game definitely was on the road. And from what I understand, they played terrible, took the lead with about a minute to go at the end of a ball game, and then Georgia State took the ball down the field and scored at the very end, which is classic Vandy because that would have set up a big time. I mean, that would have been a big time, at least relatively interesting game. 3-0.
Oh yeah,
Mizzou versus 3-0 Vandy. But Vandy appears to be same old Vandy.
Don't forget, Georgia State is up there in the top three in the SBC, so they're not that bad of a team.
Are y'all gonna mention the Dallas Fort Worth Bowl? SMU versus TCU. The Methodists versus the Christians.
Oh.
You know I'm all up on that.
Yeah. No, honestly, I think this is going to be, it's an old, what, Southwest Conference
that
game?
That is an old SWC game.
Yeah,
I do like that.
SMU just benched Preston Stone, which I don't think anyone's seen coming. And so they have the mobile quarterback in there. TCU, which I think looks absolutely terrible, somehow they are a 3-point favorite in that game.
Hmm.
So, and it's at SMU. But SMU has not looked good yet either. So we'll see.
No, they have not. No, that's interesting.
How about NC State and Clemson?
Well, yeah, Clemson coming off a bye. I like Clemson on this one.
Man, 17 is a lot of points, right?
Well,
I want to hear what Tune has to say about NC State. I wouldn't like him last week.
Well, Grayson McCall is who I didn't like last
week.
Aha,
now we're getting somewhere.
Right. And Grayson McCall has been terrible this year. I think when college football season started, I went on like a 10-minute rager about how much I love Grayson McCall, and he has been absolutely miserable this year. I think, what did I say? Last week I said I don't know how a college kid is past his prime. I don't get it. They pulled him out of the game. They were getting their ass absolutely kicked, yanked him out of the game. They come back and win that game. I don't know what's up with this backup quarterback, but I think if he can have any bit of production, because Grayson McCall was, I mean, I can't elaborate how bad he actually was in those first three games. Just anything out of them, I think they can keep it close. Clemson is, they scored, 45 points in like 5 minutes or something like that last week?
Yeah, them coming off, it's another bye like you all have. It's a weird one, but I think Clemson's, I think they're going to come out.
I don't know what to make of this game. Because
I don't know what to make of it either. I got 20 on my line. Y'all got 17?
Yeah. NC State hasn't shown me that they can consistently move the ball to where I would take them with anything. But Clemson, I don't know what they are.
Man, that's a game I wouldn't touch.
No,
but
I'm
would
just
watch.
Not going to bet it.
Yeah,
we may watch it for like, you know, the first two quarters and be like, this game sucks.
Right.
And then go on about your business. So NC State's probably, I think, the biggest letdown for me so far this year. The way they play, this is not a Dave Doran team. It's
right,
a disaster.
No, I'm with you. But he will make changes if he
has to. Yeah. Like I said, they're going to be a team toward the end of the year that you don't want any part of because he'll get it fixed. I just expect them to be more prepared.
Right,
it's crazy. Some of these quarterbacks coming in that have transferred that have been kind of letdowns. I think Will Howard at Ohio State has not looked that sharp considering what he's had around him.
Yeah, well,
but I think the Kyle Trask kid that was there last year, he's looked amazing at Syracuse.
Right. Like, yeah.
They almost, in my opinion, would have been better off keeping Kyle Trask.
And by the way, don't forget that Syracuse-Stanford game's Friday night at 7:30. The Illinois-Nebraska is 8 o'clock on Friday night. And then you got a little San Jose State and Washington State, Tuna, both teams 3-0, one team atop the Pac-2. Washington State is leading the Pac-2, and then you got San Jose State that's second in the Mountain West behind UNLV, Travis's team there, 3-0. I think that's going to be a nice 10 o'clock game on Friday night.
Well, congrats to the Cougars for winning this year's Apple Cup. And
they look like a decent team.
No, they really do. I like that team. And congrats to the Pac-12 for, it's going to be the Pac-6 here soon. They just absorbed Boise State, Colorado State, San Jose State, and San Diego State.
And then I hear Stanford and Cal might be coming back.
Well, I don't
think
they can, because how can they leave but Florida State and Clemson can't? Like, if you join into this ACC, you're part of the grant of rights, right?
But
believe me, if it was up to me, I'd like, you guys can leave right now, and you can take Florida State with you. Like, we don't really even want them anymore. So, but
I love that thought.
Hell, take Wake Forest too. They fit in right out there. I don't know, man. I'm glad the Pac-12 or Pac-6 is going to be. I'm glad they're back. They're going to expand, and it is what it is. But I don't think that those two teams are going to be able to leave. And I think once you marry into the ACC, you're stuck for life.
Or at least for several years.
Until 2036, I believe, is what it is.
Right.
So we're all going to be broke together by then.
There you go. I kind of like this 10:30 game Saturday night. Undefeated BYU, who is atop their standings in their conference, in the old Kansas State at BYU. It's an interesting 10:30 game. Both undefeated. Kansas State's got a tough little schedule going in playing.
Yeah.
Playing Tulane, dude.
Provo is a nightmare to play in at night.
Yeah.
And that's Kansas State's going to have to earn that one.
Yeah, I mean, the spread's only 6.5.
You're not excited for the Portland State Boise State game?
No, I am not.
The Northern Iowa Hawaii game?
But you know that I am pumped.
For Purdue, Oregon State?
I'm taking Oregon State at night all night.
On the CW network?
I'm taking that all night. Oregon State all night on that. Remember, Tuna, you said they need to play a night game.
It's a night game. They're only 4.5-point favorites.
Greased up. Yeah.
Only 4.5-point favorites at home.
I love that.
That is honestly my lock of the week.
There you go.
Anyway.
Oh, Memphis is playing an undefeated Navy team that's atop the standings.
Michigan State, Boston College move the needle at all?
That'll be a good game.
3-0 Michigan State. Speaking of Oregon State, he's done a hell of a job there.
Yeah, he's actually, you all called that. I was skeptical, and he's doing good. Mm-hmm. I like Michigan State in that game. Getting 9 or 10 or whatever.
No, it's 6.5.
Is it? God.
It's 6.5. It's at Boston College. Not that they have a crazy home environment.
I kind of like Michigan
State. But night games change anything.
For some reason.
Boston College, they played in a physical game last week, and I don't know how they're feeling this week. Like, how do you go from that game getting prepared for Michigan State rolling right into it? That's a tough ask for this
team. They got a little bit beat up a little bit.
I could see that. I'm not going to bet this game at all, but I could see where you're coming from with wanting to take Michigan State in that.
And then Freddie's Arizona State Sun Devils, undefeated against a team that put up 70 or 60, whatever, this past weekend, Texas Tech. We're going to find out. That's their first little battle test game for Arizona State, I think, boys. And we'll see how they do. They're getting 3. They're the underdog.
I think Texas Tech was a team that we made fun of when we were doing our conference previews.
We did.
Said that they're completely revamped.
They did lose their first game of the year.
Yeah, they did.
Dog shit.
And we were like, all right, well, there's Texas
Tech.
And
then they came back.
And now.
But they beat North Texas, so that ain't saying much.
Yeah, that was a lot of people's.
I lost my ass on that game.
That was a lot of people's upset special.
Dude,
a lot of people were on that.
Took North Texas?
Yeah. You know they're named after Joe Green, Mean Joe Green?
Yeah. Dude, North Texas, man. Isn't that where. That's kind of. They use the same colors as them.
It's green and white.
Unnecessary roughness.
Yeah, unnecessary roughness. Yeah.
That was Texas State fighting armadillos.
That was Texas State.
Right,
yes.
Texas State.
But they actually, I'm pretty sure they filmed that movie in the stadium.
Oh.
Right.
And
but the real Texas State is a bobcat.
Manu the Slender.
Was that movie, did Goldie Hawn, was she the coach in that movie?
No, that's Wildcats.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Kathy Ireland is the field goal kicker in that movie. Scott Bakula is the quarterback.
Yes.
Paul Blake.
The coach is.
I can't think of
the
his
guy
name.
The guy from
real
Greece.
Life.
You know who I'm
talking
about?
Sinbad was a defensive lineman.
The guy from Greece.
Sinbad's in it.
The guy from Greece.
The guy that was the high school coach in Greece.
That was like Ed Archuleta or something.
Oh, wait a minute. It's the same coach that was the coach in Greece. He's also in The Godfather.
I don't know know the coach of Greece. I just
Sid Caesar? No.
Sid Caesar?
No, what's his name?
What a name.
Sid Caesar. It's not Sid Caesar.
What's his name? He was in The Toy. Or no, he was in The movie with Tom Hanks banging on the piano chords.
Big. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's the old
cast guy.
Well, that's the only scene you ever see from Big is when they're walking on the piano.
No, the one dude filled in as a coach because the one head coach had a heart attack, and he had the rough talking guy.
That's the guy that's in the, Big.
That's who you're talking about.
And the Godfather.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been everywhere.
Yeah,
dude.
He's been in
everywhere.
Everything. He's been everything. He was in Brewster's Millions.
Yeah. did we talk about Utah, Oklahoma State?
Yes.
And you said Cam Rising is playing.
Cam Rising is playing.
Okay. I think we pretty much knocked most of these games out. Let's y'all see a wing dinger. I see a couple unders in here that I love.
Hector Elizondo is
Hector
the name
Elizondo.
Of the coach.
What was his name in the show? It was like Ed Genoa.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. That was going to drive me nuts. We're going to get into the NFL.
I was just about to say, let's go back and talk a little bit about what we saw in the NFL this past week. I can quickly say that we don't need to mention anything about the Colts. They were horrible. I'm glad that I wasn't here to watch the game. So let's just move on from that and go to what you guys saw. Because I know.
I sure as hell didn't see.
I know. That Tuna and Fred, their teams played one another.
Did we talk a little shit
and,
during that game?
Yeah, there was some stuff going on in the text thread. The Chiefs won, of course.
Well, Tuna was in the referee box. I was out there in the parking lot. He was in the luxury box with the refs. I was outside sucking gasoline. Yeah.
God forbid the refs actually call a pass interference that was a legit pass interference.
No, it was.
See, all right, here's my thing on this.
It was.
Everybody says the Chiefs keep getting all these calls. I'm going to tell you why it seems like the Chiefs get all these calls. Because they capitalize after they get the calls. If you get a call at the end of the game and you don't go down to win the game, it's forgotten. The Chiefs, it just so happens, they're really good at capitalizing every time the calls go their way at the end.
Well, that, it was fourth
that has
down,
to be
so they
it.
Had to go for it. But it's one of the smartest plays in football. Throw it up and have your receiver come back to it. 9 times out of 10, it's pass interference on the defense.
We've all seen this movie before.
Well, why ain't Michigan's quarterback doing that?
Call Sherrone Moore.
Yeah. Just throw it up in the air, dude.
Here was the funny thing. As the texts were flying around during that game, like, I feel about the Chiefs the same way that I felt about the Colts when Peyton Manning was there. Like, if it's a 3-point game or there's a touchdown to be made, I always feel like there's no way that they're going to lose. And so when Fred is on there going, we're going to win, and I know it has to be a little bit of...
Oh, I wanted to, and I don't care about no black catting.
But there's no way that you can be sitting there watching that game and go, well, I really think we're going to win, because I never one time...
You all had to know that I was not being serious.
Well,
I mean,
that's what I'm getting at. Because not one time ever watching that game did I feel like the Bengals can win this game.
It was just like Kentucky. It was the same game, in my opinion. I never thought Kentucky was necessarily going to win that game. They were close, and they played great defense, and that's what the Bengals did. Same thing. Now, different outcomes as far as how they lost, but... In my opinion, the first three quarters were the same. I do think that the Bengals are a tight end-oriented offense now.
The big thing from the Bengals' standpoint is you get down in the red zone in a game like that, you have to score touchdowns.
Yeah.
You can't kick field goals. You can't. Because you know, like every time they kick a field goal, you go, well, that's going to come back and cost them. That's going to come, and it
always
does.
Or he misses
does.
One.
It always does, and it doesn't matter. I mean, Mahomes can play horrible the entire game. When it comes down to the end of the ball game, and he's got to make one pass, and something has to happen, something weird maybe even has to happen. Because let's be honest, he threw that last pass 4 yards over the receiver's head.
The last pass that they called the pass interference
on? Yeah, there's no way.
That was a great pass.
Oh, no.
He had his hands on the ball.
No, you're crazy. That thing went
I think the host and moderator's crazy right now.
No, that went way over his head. There was no chance that pass is caught. But
no.
It was the right call.
I think it was 50-50. He did get hit in the back first.
He got hit in the back. But
No. They made the right call from calling it, but there's
not if it was uncatchable, is what you're saying. It was an uncatchable ball. So that would be the wrong call then,
well,
right?
No, I don't think it was.
I said it was uncatchable because I was mad. Then when I looked back
4 yards too high is kind of uncatchable.
Well, let me say this. He was not going to catch that ball if he didn't get touched. The ball was not going to be caught.
Sparky, run the replay.
I'm looking it up. I'm pretty sure it hit his hands.
That ball was not going to be caught in 1,000 years. That could have been Wilt Chamberlain out there.
He had his hands on the ball.
I don't think it was that high, but I did say
it was way
at the
over
beginning
his head.
I said uncatchable ball, and I was mad and frustrated.
Maybe part of me was thinking that, but it wasn't because I certainly wasn't rooting for the Bengals.
I think you're getting it mixed up with another pass.
I don't think so.
But anyway, I think the
Chiefs... I'll let you guys talk about it while I look this play up.
I think the Chiefs completely ruined being a fan for me because when I'm watching Louisville, and like we could have it, Louisville could have like a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, and I'm up pacing and freaking out. The Chiefs could be down by like 6 in the fourth quarter, and I've got my feet kicked up just watching and relaxing.
Well, why didn't you do that in my garage then?
What?
When you left when T. Higgins caught one.
Well, that was in
the... You have your legs propped up then.
That was in the middle of our run. Like, we're so past that now. That happened so long ago.
Oh, really?
That wasn't even last season. That was the season before last season.
Okay, you were like...
So you had all those games up to that moment.
So now you don't care about it, a three-peat.
Well, no, I know that we're going to win.
No, you're not going to win a three-peat.
No, that's what I'm saying. Every game, I know that we're going to win.
But you're not going to win. You're not.
Well, I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl.
No,
we could.
You're not going to make the Super Bowl.
That ball's 3 feet over his head, dude.
It hit his hands.
It's 3 feet over his head.
It
hit his hands and hit his helmet.
So if it hit his helmet, how's it that far over?
It's way over his hands. There's no way that ball's getting caught. There's no way.
Travis, what are you looking
at? There's no way that ball's getting caught.
Dude, this is the most insane thing to me because Travis is one of the most logical human beings I know. And for him to sit there and look at that.
It hits his hands.
Yeah.
And the guy's helmet's right here. And then it hits the guy's helmet and bounces up.
I think that's way over his head. And I'm gonna stick with that. And I appreciate you saying how logical.
Was.
That I am.
Was.
And so I'm just going to go back and sit on that and say that that is absolutely true.
Okay. Well. I
want to see slow motion.
I found out this week that
Freddie needs to see it in slow motion, by God.
But that said, like I did find my new favorite NFL player this weekend. And this is a guy that like, I'm all in on this guy. I love watching him play. Will Levis. This guy, like what
Dude,
he's
I'm
doing
kidding.
Out there.
I'm just kidding.
I love that he just like closes his eyes and says, screw it, boys. We're going for it. I love his kamikaze attitude. He's like, we're going to do it, damn it. And just does it. And
well,
then, like,
and I thought that, I don't remember if we talked about it on the podcast last week, but I know that when we were doing the text thread, that one of the funniest things was when he made that pass against the Bears that the color commentator just went, oh no. And I heard the exact same thing when he made the play this last week.
He's getting spun around.
And I heard the color commentator go something like, not again.
It's like if you took
that's what I said on the text thread.
If you took Jameis Winston and Carson Wentz and you put them in a blender together,
it was so funny.
You get Will Levis and it's amazing to watch.
It was so funny.
I use mayo on my BLTs, on my turkey sandwiches. I'm banning Hellman's mayonnaise for life.
It's time to get the Dukes, baby. It's got twang.
Dukes is number one.
There you go. Mm. Mm.
But, I mean, he clearly... And, you know, you could almost see it as that play was happening. Like, he was like, all week, they were like, no matter what you do, don't make another terrible mistake like you made last week. And then he's getting slung around. He's like, screw it, I can do it. And then as soon as he did it, he went, oh, no, I did it again. I did it again. And he did it again.
And then he went and made the tackle, though. He made the tackle.
Oh, well, this time at least he wasn't sitting on the field with his hands behind his head.
Right, he made the tackle. I like it. Good job.
But, you know, and we had... Now, let me ask you guys this. Are the Saints as good as the Saints appear to be offensively? Or is... I mean, obviously, Carolina is at the bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. But all we were told all offseason and all we hear about is the Cowboys defense. They got Zimmer in there. You know, they built this team from a defensive standpoint. And Kamara comes in there and scores, what, 4 or 5 touchdowns. They looked unstoppable. The Cowboys looked horrendous. Is that a marker of the Saints being way better than maybe we thought, or the Cowboys being way worse, or maybe somewhere in the middle?
I think there's a combination here. I think the Saints are way better than what we thought was going to happen. Derek Carr looks incredible.
He does.
He really does. He looks sharp. He feels comfortable in the pocket.
He wouldn't have overthrown that guy by 3 yards.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. I'll stick with what we got out there. But I think Dallas does this at least once or twice a year, where
sure seems
that
like
defense
it.
Goes out and they just, and it's usually again in the playoffs. So, but I'm not going to overreact to Dallas on this one. I still think that's a good Dallas team. I do think it's not an overreaction to say that New Orleans is a really damn good football team, both defensively and offensively.
Right. Well, everything's coming
did
together.
Did you see the stat? They scored 15
straight,
consecutive
straight
possessions.
Offensive possessions.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, it really is. And it's something I wanted to get to here is, like, you can go across the league, and I brought this up a little bit last week. Quarterback play is just awful across the league. Like, some of your top guys are playing awful. But, like, right now you're looking at, you know, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold as, like, three of the best looking quarterbacks out there this year.
That's right.
Like, what the hell's going on? And I mean, Kyler looked great, but I think Kyler's has, I'm not going to lump him with them. I think Kyler's always had talent. He just hadn't had a lot around him.
Right.
And the year that he did, he was really good, but he got hurt right there. But right now, I think you're going to see Kyler really grow here in these coming years. But other than that, man, like, everybody else, Pat Mahomes looks like, I mean, he's not himself. Do you think it's because a lot of guys aren't playing preseason games? Like, why do you think it is right now?
I think that's part of it. But at the same time, when you talk about your quarterback at Kansas City, that guy truly doesn't care if he throws for 20 yards.
No, I'm with you there.
He just wants to win the game. So
he also threw 2 picks in that Cincinnati game, and he didn't look very good at all, really, I didn't think.
But, yeah, there's a lot of players that didn't play. That has to be
part. Tony Romo, if you're watching that, Tony Romo would think that was the best quarterback performance he'd ever seen, because that's all he freaking talked about.
Yeah.
But, right. Like anybody else watching that, realizes that that's not what Patrick Mahomes plays or looks like.
Yeah, he
like.
Could have
gotten
49 more yards in that game. It really would have helped out.
Yeah. That's, dude, what, he threw for like 169 or
151.
151. There you go. That's not, I mean, this is a guy that just a couple years ago threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's, something's going on, and I don't really know what it is. And I mean, that's kind of across the league.
Last week he had 289, though, but that 289 was still not that impressive, if that makes sense.
No, it wasn't. And that was a lot, because that was a weird game, too, against Baltimore. But, no, quarterback play, it has not been astounding this year.
While we're on that game, I want to go back, Tuna. I want to ask you, what's your feeling about your running back room now? Because he's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, the crocodile's coming in.
Punt.
No, Carson Steele. It's his job. He's taking it. And
didn't they sign Hunt today?
Yeah, he came and worked out. Did they actually sign him? I know he worked out today. But even if, he's not going to be ready to go this weekend. Yeah. Like, so this weekend's going to be a mix of Samaje Perine and America's new favorite hero, Carson Steele. I love Carson Steele. I know he had that fumble in that game.
Like a meatball with a mullet.
Yeah. The biggest quads in the NFL, but even bigger than Saquon's. But no, he's a hard runner. He runs like a psychopath. And he's not going to stay healthy the way he runs, but we're going to, you know what I mean? We're going to get some games out of him. I guess Pacheco's out 6-8. I'm excited to have Kareem Hunt coming back. I know he's not the same Kareem Hunt that was there, but for his mental health, I think people forgot that, like, remember when he got arrested for, you know, sitting in his car being high,
yep,
like the week before the Super Bowl?
I do.
And he told the cop that, you know, he was how depressed he was because he was supposed to be playing in the Super Bowl coming up. And, like, it's nice to see a kind of a redemption because he screwed up, you know, and he screwed up bad. And the Chiefs basically punished him for that and kicked him off the team. But I also believe that people deserve redemption when they're not consistently screwing up.
Right.
And that was his one mess up. And now he's kind of getting a second opportunity to be a part of this Chiefs team. I know it's just going to be for this year. I don't know if we're going to three-peat and get a Super Bowl. But either way, it's nice to have him back there. And I know Andy Reid's always had a soft spot for him.
Yeah, and I think that's a cool thing. And it makes perfect sense. You bring a guy like that in, knows the system, knows, you know, what's expected of players when they get there.
Yeah.
You're not bringing a guy in off the street that's never been there before. So I look for him. I mean, I think that's a great move.
Mm-hmm. I do too. Even if it's just, I mean, you got to admit, like, as a short yardage back, he was one of the best there was. Like, especially around the 5-yard line, like, he's going to get in the end zone. He always had a way of getting in the end zone there. So I don't know. I think it's I like it, man. And I think Samaje Perine's going to be, I think he's going to add a lot there. He looked good. I mean, he's always been a journeyman in the NFL that kind of gets you what you need when you need it. And right now we're going to lean on
rusher.
Him. Yeah, and he's great at catching the ball out of the backfield, I think. So, yeah, we're going to lean on him, but I think America's going to become very familiar with Carson Steele here real soon. So he may steal Taylor Swift away from Travis Kelce.
We all know that.
Just to prove that he can do it.
Clearly, the Chiefs are now America's team, clearly.
We have actually just surpassed Dallas Cowboy in a poll for the most hated team in the NFL.
Which is what makes you America's team.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was just about to say. The Cowboys were America's team, not just because of all the people that rooted for them. The Cowboys were America's team because half the country root against them no matter what, who they're playing, whatever channel that we're going to seek them out because we hate Tom Landry and we think Roger Staubach's a goody two-shoes. And, you know, Tony Dorsett, and that's what made them America's team. You can't be America's team with everybody just loving on you.
It's weird, though, because I think maybe I'm just stupid for this and naive, but I think Patrick Mahomes is a likable dude. Travis Kelce, I could see where he gets annoying to people. But Andy Reid, I feel like every person in America has to love that man, right? Like, that's everybody's grandpa, right? Like,
I think so.
Like, it's different than, like, Belichick when he was at, you know, New England winning all those games. He was standoffish, unlikable guy. Like, he's become likable now because he's on the Manning cast.
Right.
But even, Jimmy Johnson out there at and Barry Switzer and all that with Dallas, you could easily not like Jimmy Johnson. Like, he could rub you. I love the guy, but
his hair.
You loved his hair. You love his hair and his gold chains.
And his smile.
Yeah. And that was the best quote. Was it Michael Irvin on The U said, Miami thought Randy Shannon was the first African-American head coach hired by the University of Miami. He said Jimmy Johnson was the first African-American coach.
I love it. God, I love that. Yeah. Guys, before we head around the room here at the end, we haven't really talked about any NFL games that are on your on your radar for this particular weekend? Is there anything that kind of sticks out to you, or do you just want to go around and make that part of your picks?
I think there's a couple, definitely some good games. I think you already hit on New Orleans, the Saints and Philly is going to be a fun game. I don't know. The after Atlanta gets that win, Kansas City's going to be fun.
What do you think about Chargers Steelers?
Chargers Steelers, yeah.
That's two surprising teams. I think the Chargers. Yeah. J.K. Dobbins has been incredible out there.
Oh,
him
dude.
And Harbaugh are like the perfect marriage.
Yeah. Well, he don't need to be doing flips in the end zone after he scores because he's probably one of the players that gets hurt the most in the NFL.
He probably won't be on my bench in fantasy this week like he was last week.
Yeah,
Rasheen Shaheed ain't on my bench either.
The biggest one, though, we got redemption game for two teams, the Ravens and the Cowboys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Redemption.
You know, the Ravens need a damn win. The Cowboys need to rebound after the way they look. That's probably the biggest one.
There's going to be injuries in that game because they're going to be hitting hard.
Yeah, they will. You're right. Really You're hard. Right.
Is that a night game or anything?
That's a football time and football in America.
The national game of the week.
Yeah, game
Fox
of the week or whatever.
I think you passed one over. Not many people look at it just because they look at the team names, but the Houston Minnesota game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's the 1 o'clock game to watch.
It is. Vikings have been one of the biggest surprise teams this year. Houston has not looked as good as what I thought they should have looked by now.
But they just keep winning.
They keep winning, and that's what matters in the NFL.
That's it.
So
that's it. Just keep winning.
That's it. So, yeah, I'm with you, Jody. That is going to be a good one.
So I just want to remind everybody that we are on social media. Look us up on Twitter, at Blockout Pod, on Facebook, at Blockout Sports Pod. Clearly, we've got a lot of big-time football going on this weekend, maybe a couple of other things. But since we are in the downstairs pub, and I am the de facto bartender as your host and moderator tonight, I'm going to go ahead and call last call down here, and I'm going to start with Tuna.
I'm going to pass it off to somebody else right now because my computer is going a little bit slow, and I've got to dig it up here.
All right, Freddie.
What's up?
Nothing, dude. Just hanging out.
We're looking for your picks.
Last call. Well, all right. I'll go down here. I'm going to go ahead and do my unders first. All right. I got four unders for you. No, I got three.
Oh, boy.
All right. Here we go. First under, Colorado State at home and UTEP. They're horrible. We're going to go the under on that one.
What's the under?
I want someone else to tell me.
Oh, God.
This is not going well.
No, I don't have it up.
Oh, I got it right here.
There you go.
Yeah, because I'm going to give you my other under right on that. That under is 50. 50. And it could change, obviously. All these are subject to change. I'm going with Iowa State. Arkansas State at Iowa State, minus 52. Love that one. Arkansas State, not a bad team, though. Just so you know, they're up there in the standings, playing pretty good. Third one, Utah State at Temple, 54.
Man, if you're watching that game, you are a psycho.
And guess what? I'm watching none of those games. And that's why they are my under specials. All right, you want my picks?
Yes, please.
Okay. Coastal Carolina at home getting 4. Over Virginia. Yeah, right. Coastal Carolina's like, we're going to beat you by 30, you scumbags. Coastal Carolina 3-0 and playing great football. That's an embarrassment. Let's go with our next one. I'm gonna hold that Tennessee bet for Tuna.
Yeah.
And let him bet that one.
I got that one too.
Yeah, I think that's around the house.
So I am going to go with Toledo on, I think it's a pick 'em now. They might be getting one at Western Kentucky. Sorry, Toppers. And you ready for the other one? I'm going Houston getting 6 at Cincinnati. Sorry, Satterfield. Willie Taggart, his team has gotten hot.
My line says 7 right now.
There you go. I'll take 7.
Is that all you got?
That's my picks.
Tuna.
All right. We're loaded up here. Arkansas +3 at Auburn down in the Plains. Give me the Hogs and the 3. Tennessee -7 over Oklahoma. And as I mentioned earlier, Oregon State +4.5 against Purdue at a chainsaw game in Corvallis at night.
Love that.
And then also, are we doing around the horn right now?
Yes.
Okay. Cause, I've got baseball's coming down to a close right now. We've mentioned it, believe it or not. Baseball is still going on, folks. The White Sox, they have 12 games left and need 7 wins to avoid having the most losses in Major League Baseball's modern era.
I'm rooting since 1901. For losses.
I am too. The Angels have 13 games left, need 7 wins to avoid having the most losses in franchise history.
I'm rooting for losses again.
These two teams play each other 6 times over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like a gas.
Unbelievable.
So that's something to keep an eye on in the baseball world. And Shohei Ohtani hit another home run tonight, so he's at 48. We're getting closer and closer to that 50-50 history.
Travis, I didn't know we were bringing around the horn. I got one thing to say for you, pal.
Sure.
Champions League just got underway last couple days, and I want to give a little shout-out to Harry Kane, the most overrated player in now the Bundesliga, and he scored 4 goals today for Bayern Munich. Thank you, Tuna. For Bayern Munich, and even though I think he's overrated in huge games, by God, he can play club soccer well.
I should have worn my Kane uniform tonight.
Any word on how Leeds is doing?
I had no idea.
How's Leeds doing? We got to keep up with Leeds.
They're in relegation, I think.
Are they really?
Well, they're not in the big Premier League. They're like,
I thought
one
Travis
step
had a jersey.
Well, they're one step below that.
Well, relegation's every tier.
Is that George?
Yeah, I'm with you, but like down. They're not in the top.
Travis, is that George? Is his name George?
I think they're in the middle.
Who?
Our Leeds guy from England.
Oh, I'd have to go back and look.
Well, hell, I thought y'all were buddies, Travis.
Yeah, buddies. I heard one email from him.
Thanks, George. Good. I hope you're doing well.
Hope Leeds is really kicking ass.
Send us another email, bud.
Colin,
your favorite fish and chips recipe.
Colin is taking Arkansas, just like Tuna. He's taking USC, and he's taking Indiana.
What on what? What are you?
Indiana's 27.5.
What's USC?
5.5. Arkansas +3, and Jody. To you.
I got Kansas at West Virginia. I got West Virginia -2.5. Tulane at Louisiana Lafayette. I got Tulane -3.
It's going to be a tough game.
Nope, they're going to kill them. Watch.
And Louisiana's 3-0.
The lock.
No. Tulane should be.
The lock
right.
Is UT -7.
Oh, you took UT, tough guy. Okay.
Said it right when you said something.
I already
had it on the board.
No, I'm betting UT too. I just didn't want to say it.
And I have Georgia Tech against Louisville.
Oh, baby.
Betting the 10.5. No, I'm not betting on them to win.
Sure, you're not.
No, I think that's a great bet. It really is.
I'm also taking IU -27.5.
Homer.
I'm taking NC State.
Oh, wow.
+17.
Take that, Dabo.
And then I have my first lock of the year. Lock of the century.
I think I know what this one's going to be.
My first lock of the century. I have Southern California against Michigan. It's the lock of the century, the lock of the year. My five-star bet your kid's college money on.
Me and Toon are going the other direction.
I'm not betting it. I'm just saying it could happen.
We're going to keep an eye. Is this going to be like East Washington?
It could be.
I thought for sure you'd be all over Bowling Green +23.
I did too.
I thought that was coming for sure.
Too.
I've already made clear that I think that they're going to win that game.
Hey, this, you know what this kind of sounds like? Remember when he went, I'm taking Purdue going to
And
let me show you something, Fred.
Riley Leonard's back in the Heisman talk. Thanks, Purdue.
Let me show you something funny because last week, here's my sheet from last week. I had Notre Dame picked, and then at the end of the show, I got fired up, and I was like, screw it. I'm taking Purdue. And I made that mark at the very end, and it was a horrible mistake.
I think you threw that ball about 4 yards over the head right there.
I think so.
Hey, I think we all have a pick for everyone out there, all of us. And I think everyone will agree, Jody, and you can put it in that top right corner there, that we are all taking the over in Iowa at Minnesota. We are going the over, which is 34. I think it's 34.
35 is what I'm sure.
I just saw 36, and I'm taking
Oh,
under.
God, it's going up every second.
God dang, 36 we might have to talk about. Yeah,
we might have to abort mission
hold
here.
Hold on a minute. I think it's going to be – I think that is an over bet this time, and I have won so many
unders. Iowa's putting some damn points on the board, boys.
If you only knew how many unders I've won on Minnesota and Iowa, I think it's going to be a different story here, guys.
I can't wait to see how that all plays out.
It's going to be an offensive – Eric Coryell come out of his shell.
And, guys –
Hal Mummy.
Appreciate having the whole crew back tonight. Appreciate how much fun it was to be in California. We wish Kentucky would have played, you know, maybe made a couple more plays at the end of a ball game. Can't wait for the Louisville game this week. We'll be right back here next Tuesday to recap the rest of this week. And anybody else have anything else to impart their wisdom on us before I check out of here?
I got no wisdom.
Tuna, UofL fight song?
No haikus tonight?
No haikus tonight.
Well, in that case.
I don't remember my haiku from last week.
Go back and listen to it. It's pretty good.
Was it? See? I'm good.
For Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, the big fellow of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.